We've spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks looking at our church calendar. So many people, you know, you're thinking, oh gosh, my next week is already full. Well, we're already booking December. That's the way the church works. We're constantly always having to look out and see what's going to happen and what we're going to need. And especially because our church has such an amazing policy of sharing our space with so many different groups and people in the community, that it's vital that we get the church's stuff on the calendar as soon as possible. So when other people come calling and have needs, that we're able to know what we have planned and are able to work in and to provide the space that they need. And as we were looking ahead of the calendars, we've got a couple of great big celebrations. One of those that's coming up, May 15th, is we have a very special young lady in the life of the church who will be turning 100. Miss Iva D. will be celebrating her 100th birthday, and we are so excited that she's going to be back with us, and we will have a time of worship, and then following, we're going to pull out all the stops and have a great big birthday party in the Family Life Center as we celebrate that very special lady and this truly amazing moment in her life as we celebrate to be 100. And then as we're looking on in June, we have annual conference, and then also in June, we're going to be celebrating a wedding. And that is always very exciting. Yeah, I'm talking about you two right there. And those are always something that's exciting in the life of the church. And those are the fun things that we always get to look forward to, is birthday parties and weddings. And it reminded me of a story that a good pastor friend of mine, Reverend Kelly Pope, which many of you probably know Kelly. He's an icon and a fixture in the annual conference, and he's going to be joining us for worship in a few weeks. And Kelly sent me this message, and he said he thought it was very appropriate for after Easter. Is a couple came to St. Peter in heaven and said, "We want to get married. We were friends together in life, and now we're spending eternity together in glory, and we would like to get married." And St. Peter said, "You know, that's wonderful. And that's wonderful. But here's what, you know, the commitment you're talking about here is forever. I mean, that's kind of the time frame we're working on now. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 50 years, and I want you to think about it and make sure this is really what you want to do. And then come back and talk to me." And so, you know, it's eternity. So 50 years is like that. And so 50 years passed, and they came back to St. Peter, and they said, "You know, We really love each other, and we want to spend forever with each other." And he said, "I get it, and I know this is a really big commitment, and here's all I'm asking. I want you to just think about it for 50 more years. And after that, you come back and talk to me." And so they said, "Okay." And so they went away, and 50 years passed again, and they came back, and they said, "Look, we can't wait any longer. We want to be married, and we want to spend eternity together." And he said, "Okay." He says, "I know you do, and we want that so much for you, but here's what I need you to do. I want you to give me 50 more years." And he said, "And by then, if we don't have a preacher up here, I'll marry you yourself." I thought it was funny. That has absolutely nothing to do with our sermon, but again, I thought it was funny. Last week, we celebrated Easter, and we celebrated an empty tomb. That here it was, this emblem of death, this symbol of death and finality had been completely transformed into a symbol of hope and a symbol of life. And that is what the empty tomb is for us. It's a promise that that is not the end of the story, that that's just the beginning of this amazing journey that we are all part of as we live into our life of sanctification, as John Wesley would say. As each and every day we draw ourselves physically closer to eternity, but also spiritually, that we are growing closer and closer to Christ. And for us, the empty tomb is that reminder. That reminder that there is something greater that is to come, and it is something that will be everlasting. That in the end, there is nothing that will bind us and keep us away from the eternal love of the Father. Today, we're also going to talk about being empty. But today, we're going to talk about the need for empty hearts. I love this image that we see of the disciples locked up in the upper room. They're terrified. Here it is, they think their entire world has ended. And up until this point, really all they know is they've heard the story. They've heard that Jesus' body isn't where it's supposed to be. And probably for most of them, they think that's even worse. They're thinking the worst. Not only have they seen him die, not only have they seen him buried, not only have they seen the end of all their hopes and their dreams, and now they don't even have a place they can return to and to remember. They feel robbed of everything they ever thought and everything they ever believed. Their lives are just empty. You know, sometimes life does the same to us. As we find ourselves in situations where we just have nothing else, whether it's a long illness, whether it's the loss of someone we love, whether it's the loss of a job, whether it's some change in our life, whether it's somebody hurts us or hurts those that we love, but life comes in and it seems to kind of rob us of all the joy and all the celebration that we have, and we just find ourselves empty. You ever found yourself that way? Where you're just like, I ain't got nothing left. There's nothing left here. There's no reason to celebrate. There's no reason to be happy. Where it just kind of robs you of everything, and you have this completely kind of empty experience. But the amazing thing is, when life empties us, is when Jesus is able to walk in and to fill us up. Because that's exactly what he does for the disciples. Notice what he does. Here they are. They're locked. They're terrified. They're completely void of all of the celebration and all of the strength and all of their belief. They have no idea what is going to happen next. And it is into that emptiness that Jesus walks straight in. He's not stopped by the locked doors. He's not stopped by all of their fear. He's not stopped by all of their doubts. No, it's in the middle of their emptiness that he walks in, and notice what he does. He says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's how normally we translate it. But one thing that we kind of lose in the translation is what he's talking about here is actually peace be in you. He's filling them up with peace. He's giving them that here in a time of complete and utter conflict when they need it the most. He steps into the chaos of their lives and he says, I'm going to fill you up with peace. Peace be within you. And he does the same for us. In those times where life seems to have stripped us of everything, and we don't know which way is up and which way is down and where to go next, but that is when often Jesus is standing in our midst. And he's saying, peace, I've got this. You think this is big, you think about what I've done before. Peace be in you. Peace in the midst of those moments of chaos. But he doesn't just stop with peace. Notice what he does. There he is, and he says, peace. And then he breathes on them. Then he really, in a way, recreates that moment of first creation. When God breathed life into Adam, he breathed new life into them. He breathed in them new life, but also with that new life came new purpose. Notice what he says. He says, as the Father sent me, I do what? I am sending you. Yes, your world has been turned upside down, but I'm telling you, I'm putting it all back on the level, and I'm starting something brand new. You will never have the life that you used to have. No, now you've got something better. Now you've got something everlasting. And so many times when life comes in and empties us out, that's our problem, is what we want is what we used to have. What we want is the way things used to be. I think if anybody understands this in the earth, it's the life of the church. Oh, how we used to be. Oh, if we could just go back. And here Jesus is saying, that's not why you're emptied. You're emptied because I'm sending you into something new. I am filling you with a new life, not the life you used to know. I'm sending you with a new purpose, not the purpose you used to have. I'm filling you with a new peace and starting you on a new journey. That's how God works in those emptying moments in our life. You know, so many times when we're going through a crisis, when we're going through grief, when we're going through pain and suffering, so many times well-meaning people want to make it okay. And they're like, well, God gave it to you. Well, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. We have all of these wonderful platitudes, but all they're really doing is they're trying to make sense of something that you can't make sense of. And the way we're trying to make sense of it is we're trying to make the God the root of it. Because if God's in charge of it, then maybe there might just be a plan. But the reality is, folks, sometimes we give God credit for things that just belong to life. And if we stop for just a moment and we think about who God is, and we think about how God is described, and we think about what God has promised, we realize that God didn't bring those emptying times into our life. That's what you get because you're living. Life is what often beats us down. But the glory in it is even in those moments, God can still do something amazing. And that's what He does. Is He steps in to where we are, cast down, beaten, bruised, and battered. And He says, I'm going to fill you up and give you a new life and a new purpose. But sometimes, it's not just about how life empties us. Sometimes, before Jesus can step in and do amazing things, we have to empty ourselves. Enters Thomas. Thomas is either one of the most loved or one of the most reviled people in Scripture. He's either that one that we hold up as the example of all of us in our doubts, or he's that one that we want to wag our finger at and say, oh, that wouldn't have been me. How dare he doubt? But the reality is, Thomas was human. And most of us are a whole lot more like Thomas than we care to admit. Here was Thomas. And the fact is, yes, life was trying to strip him of all his joy and all of his purpose and all of that, just like everybody else. But here was the difference, is Thomas had found something to fill his void. And it was doubt. Thomas had taken that void that had once been filled by the one who had taught him about the kingdom and about love, and he had tried to fill himself, but he could only fill it with what he had. And that was doubt. And you know, so many times those of us, especially those of us who are type A and like being in charge, we're just as guilty. When we have those moments in our life where there's these voids in our life, we want to fix it ourselves. We want to be the ones that plug in the answers. And so what we do is we start filling up our life with the stuff that we know and the stuff we can control and the stuff that we understand. And we start trying to make sense of things, and we start trying to change things and manipulate things so that we can find that footing that all of a sudden is taken away from us. But just like Thomas, when we try to fill the void in our life ourselves, we always do it wrong, and we always do it with the wrong stuff. And that's what Thomas had done. Is he had tried to feel his pain and feel his anger and feel his hurt himself, and all he was left with was doubt. Doubt that, no, this isn't true. Doubt that it's not going to be true because he didn't want it to be, because the fact is, He had believed once, and it had not worked, and he wasn't going to be caught off guard again. He wasn't going to be the fool again. What's that? Shame me once, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Thomas wasn't playing that. He said, no, I've already been that. I've already been through all this pain and suffering. I'm not going to do that again. You ever been there? You ever been hurt by some circumstance in life? You ever had a time in your life where you were robbed of your joy and your peace and you started packing the wounds yourself and you're like, no, I'm done with that. I'm done with them. I'm done with whatever the root of that problem is. I'm washing my hands of the situation. I'm not going there again. What happens is we find ourselves left with just a fragment of what we had. And it wasn't Thomas had to empty himself. Jesus walked into the middle of it and he said, right now your life is filled with doubts. And I need you to let those go. And you said the only way those are going to go is if you see it for yourself. So look at here. Let all that you have tried in your life to make it okay, let all of that go. Receive the peace that I can give. Receive the new life that I can give. Receive the new purpose that I can give. Receive me, not as you want me to be, not as you thought I was, but as I am. Empty yourself so that there is room for me. It's really one of the greatest lessons of resurrection. Is resurrection cannot truly be experienced without emptiness. Whether it's acknowledging our own emptiness because of the circumstances of this life, acknowledging our own pains, our own griefs, our own sorrows, our feelings of betrayal, our hurt, our pain, acknowledging that we are empty. And because we are empty, we're scared and we're worried. Sometimes it's acknowledging that we've tried to fill that emptiness with everything we can get a hold of, and it's just not working. Acknowledging that only Jesus can fill it. That's the challenge. The challenge is, are you empty? Are you empty? Do you need to admit to yourself that you're empty? You're running on fumes. That you have tried and that there's just, you have given it all you got and there's nothing left. Or have you tried and you've done a successful job of keeping the pieces together, but in the process you've packed yourself so full of what you can do that there's no room for what God wants to do? We must have empty hearts in order to embrace a resurrected Christ. And so where are you today? Is it an acknowledgement that I am just tired? That I have given all that I can give? I'm going to ask Lisa if she'll come play for just a moment. And we're just going to enter into a time of prayer. You can pray where you are. As always, the altar is open. But do you come today with an empty spirit? Needing the risen Christ to step in, to give you peace with your anxieties, to to give you a new life in the midst of all of the chaos of the old life? Are you ready to embrace a new purpose, a new calling? Do you have an empty heart waiting to be filled with resurrection? I invite you to pray, to allow God to speak to you. Again, the altar is open. Let us pray. Most loving and everlasting God, we just praise you, O Lord, that you are here in our midst. No matter how hard we try to block you out and to close our lives to your calling and to your purpose, that you are always there. Always there, calling us into a newness of life, calling us into a newness of purpose, calling us simply just to rest in your grace and in your goodness. Father God, we live in such a fast world. We live in such a demanding world. We live in such an exhausting world. And when we try so hard to do our own thing and to do it our way, and to just keep it all afloat and to keep it all together, God, we find ourselves just empty, where we have nothing more to give. God, sometimes it's situations in our life, and sometimes it's just the business of living. But God, we pray that in the midst of our exhaustion, in the midst of our emptiness, that you will come and breathe new life into us. That you will come and bring new call and new purpose and new strength and new power. And God, God, for those of us who've tried so hard to do it ourselves. We've tried so hard to fill the void in our life with our own doing. God, help us just to pour it all out. Just to empty our lives so that we can be filled with your presence and with your Spirit. Resurrect us from the emptiness that is part of living. And call us forth into a new day of life everlasting. For we ask these things in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We do have something else